Great Friday. Thanks for being with us. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. We're on White Mountain Radio. We're on Twitter as well, at Brad Sussmat. Peter King's going to join us on today's show. Peter King, SportsIllustrated.com, senior writer. Peter King, the editor of the Monday Morning Quarterback. One of the most respected insiders. He is in town today. We'll have Peter King with us. And some news about Peter and Sports 360 that we'll have a little bit later on in the show. Looking forward to that. Peter King on today's show. Goody at the Movies, AZ Central chief film critic, Bill Goodykuntz. He actually, last Friday when I was up at Camp T, I had the director on of the football movie When the Game Stands Tall. The movie debuts today, so we have a football movie debuting today. Goody's going to give his take on it. The movie's gotten trashed in a lot of places, what I've seen, so I'm curious about Bill's take on it. A lot going on today and into the sports weekend. Today, Sports 360 AZ will go right from here to the Arizona State Sun Devil kickoff luncheon. We have a table there. Looking forward to that.
You don't need a seat filler.
I don't need a seat filler.
Okay.
You're never a seat filler on this show. Oh. What are you thinking?
Sorry.
You have to be a Cardinals practice, E. What is the... I mean, come on, you have a job.
Have to is such a relative term.
You have to be at Arizona Cardinals
You don't
Cardinals
really have
practice.
To do anything except at one point pay taxes and die. That's
no,
really
that's
all
true.
You have to
that's
do in
true.
Life.
Well, once you're married, now that you've found that, you'll change that opinion in a hurry. Let's get you caught up some things on my mind in the world of sports. It's brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino is just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. Here we are on this Friday, and you're thinking, hey, man, I might want to get out of here. I might want to get up to the high country, get up to the White Mountains, head up to the Honda Resort and Casino, enjoy yourself, big winnings, great fun, eat some great food, and do it all up in the high country, the White Mountains. Get on out and take a hike, go fishing, go hiking during the day, and then at night, enjoy yourself at the Honda Resort and Casino. It is just outside of Pine Top in the White Mountains. Honda Resort and Casino, they've been a part of Sports 360 AZ. Since day number one, Peter King in about 12 minutes. So the Cardinals have a preseason game that, and you're going to that one, right, Eric?
Yes, I am. Yep.
So if we're talking about preseason games, usually I don't give a rat's patoot. I don't care. I am so disinterested in preseason games. However, Cincinnati's going to be pretty good this year. In fact, I think they have a chance to be really good this year.
And Brad, this is the finger quote. Ultimately, most important third preseason game, unfinger quote.
Yeah.
Game.
And so, you know, there's some intrigue. There's some reason to watch. It's on Sunday Night Football, which people get excited about that. I saw where the Cardinals are sending out tweets. Look who's in town, Sunday Night Football. And no, it's fine. It's fine. I think given what happened this week with the Cardinals, the loss of Darnell Dockett just took the air out of the balloon. But as I wrote earlier in the week, and I've said all along, even before the Dockett injury, the Cardinals' offense is going to need to be around 28 to 30 points a game this season if they want to have a big year. I don't think there's any way, shape, or form you can dispute me on that. I know that's a lot of points, but in this league that is moving closer and closer to arena football in the way of scoring, that's just the way it is. Here's Bruce Arians looking forward to seeing how his team looks on Sunday night against the Bengals.
This is going to be a really good challenge for us. This is a good barometer. This team's been in the playoffs. Cincinnati, Marvin's done a great job for the last couple of years, and they'll be a good barometer for us. They're a heck of a – I think they finished up third in the league last year in defense, so this will be a good test.
Here is Marvin Lewis. What does he see on film from the Cardinals?
Obviously, their football team last year had a very successful year, just coming short of making the playoffs, being 10-6. And an offense with Carson at quarterback, and their receiving core, which is a big group, and then they add the speed guys and Teddy Ginn and the kid that they drafted from Pittsburgh State. So they added some speed to that group as well.
And John Brown's getting a lot of attention. Has John Brown caught your imagination yet, Eric? Is that just one of those?
I'm not quite believing the hype yet, because we've seen it before
yeah.
in preseason with these Cardinals, especially at wide receiver, mm-hmm. where it's and then by week two we're asking ourselves, hey, you remember that guy in preseason?
Did you just see
he's playing overseas now, or he's like playing semi-pro ball and fill in the blank? But John Brown, obviously, I mean, there's a reason he got drafted as high as he did. They're high on him. He we'll see. He got targeted a bunch of times against the Texans, and so he is looking to fill Andre Roberts' shoes, who is now catching passes from RG3 out in Washington.
Well, and see, the thing is, on free agents and rookies, I should say, your rookie class, you're going to sit there and judge your rookies, and that's fine. That's fine. You want to see them produce or not. I get that. But you can't get too over the top after two meaningless, worthless scrimmages. So that's all I'm saying on that front. Johnny Manziel was fined $12,000 for flipping the birds at the Redskins bench the other night. I'm sure that really put a dent in his lifestyle. So the NFL, it's as though that they sit around in their boardroom and they think, well, this is kind of funny. So we'll find him something for it. We have to find him something, right? I mean, what's $12,000 to Johnny Manziel? He can go make that in, like, I don't know, 20 minutes at an autograph show. So that happened today. Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell is quickly becoming one of my favorite storylines. Steeler running back Le'Veon Bell and LeGarrette Blount were popped for possession of marijuana Wednesday afternoon. We had this story yesterday. It's very amusing to me that Le'Veon Bell was driving along and they had their windows down and the police on his motorcycle comes up alongside of him. He's like, I'm pulling you over. So here's the thing on this. Both still played in the preseason game against the Eagles. Of course they did. What's wrong with that? Bell is going to face DUI charges after getting behind the wheel of a car while high. Something that he didn't know could happen, this according to the criminal complaint obtained by WPXI. The running back, Le'Veon Bell, was asked by the officer who pulled him over if he had marijuana in the car. Bell initially said no, but when asked if he smoked any marijuana recently, Bell said he and others in the car smoked about a minute ago. About a minute ago. Bell then clarified that he and the members of the car smoked within the last couple of hours. So it went from a minute to a couple of hours. Yeah, I guess when you're that high, you just lose track of time. The officer then told Bell that he would be tested and charged with a DUI for operating a vehicle while high. Bell had no clue he could even get busted for that. Quote, "I didn't know that you could get a DUI for being high," Bell said, according to the officer. Quote, I'll make it through this story. Quote, "I smoked 2 hours ago. I am not high anymore. I am perfectly fine. Why would I be getting high if I had to get on a plane and make it to my game?" So this is what we deal with in sports. Yeah, you can't script this stuff. I didn't know. What? I am not high anymore, officer. That is great. So there's Le'Veon Bell. And if he's on your fantasy team, that's your guy. And you don't care. All you want is touchdowns and yards. You don't care if he doesn't know that driving while high is DUI. So there you go. Other than the Cardinals and those couple of NFL stories, this is going to be a busy weekend ahead in the NBA of all sports. I usually don't talk August NBA very much. But tomorrow is the day that the trade can be announced that will make LeBron James the contending favorite over in the NBA's Eastern Conference. Tomorrow, Minnesota will trade Kevin Love. That's the 23rd is the date where you can start making these moves. And so this deal is going to come down. Kevin Love will go from Minnesota to Cleveland. And Cleveland will send back Andrew Wiggins, the number one overall pick. They'll send back Thaddeus Young from Philly over to Minnesota. And Anthony Bennett will go from Cleveland over to Philly. It's a three-way deal. The bottom line on this, and the reason why I'm making a big deal on this front is, well, it's the number one overall pick being traded to Minnesota. There's that. Also, it's a former number one overall pick being traded to Philly, so Philly gets better. All of this is happening, and Minnesota, as I look at the Suns, you have to look at it from this perspective. Last year, the Suns and Minnesota were both battling one another to try to make it into the playoffs. I think Philadelphia and Cleveland on this deal, they get better. I would think that Minnesota long-term would be better. I don't know how Andrew Wiggins is going to go from you are the most hyped, celebrated, number one overall pick. You are the greatest player ever to go into Kansas. You're there just 1 year. You're the number one pick, and you're going to be in Cleveland, and you're going to be with LeBron, and now you get an all-expense-paid trip to Minnesota, where you're going to be so far off the radar, no one's going to find you with a compass. I don't know how he's going to be up there. Thaddeus Young's a pretty good player. But this does impact the Suns. It does. The Suns in there, we've talked about how I've not been a fan of their offseason. It's not been the greatest offseason. So that's on my mind today. The college football scene in this state, you have the two big ones, Arizona State and Arizona. And both of them start play in the next 6 days. A week from tonight, U of A opens their season against UNLV. Next Thursday, Arizona State opens their season against Weber State. I like the fact that both those programs are, in my opinion, in better shape now than they were, let's say, a couple of years ago. There's no question that Rich Rod has, and Greg Byrne, too. You have to give Greg Byrne a ton of credit down in Tucson. The U of A is in so much better shape with their football program. I think they're actually on the borderline of being relevant. They would say, we've always been relevant. And I would say, no, you haven't. You've had dumpy facilities. You've been a basketball program. Football's just kind of sort of something to do before basketball season. And now that's changed. I think that Rich Rod has done a terrific job down there. ASU fans get all worked up, been out of shape, tough. Deal with it. U of A, or, so there's the U of A side. ASU, all you have to do is look at Vontaze Burfict rolling in here on Sunday night and understand that was the lowest of low points in ASU football. And it wasn't the kid's fault entirely. It was Dennis Erickson and the football staff's fault. And the university in a whole let Vontaze Burfict down. They did. He almost single-handedly destroyed that football program. He was a coach killer. He was called that by analysts. He ran off Dennis Erickson. Dennis just drank himself out. That was it. It was over. He was empty. And so by the time that we get to now, I think where I see the football program on both fronts is in much better shape. It's a much better shape, and I'm looking forward to that. But you have NAU in good shape, too. And even little Arizona Christian University, a little NAIA school starting out a football program. We have an NAIA program in the state. It's all getting started this weekend. And it's the high school football getting started tonight. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat, Peter King on the other side.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/Sports360AZ.
Yeah, I don't see any problems with our personnel and defense. I think we're better than we were last year. Right now, at this stage last year, this defense right now is better than that one, even without Darnell. But the quality of the offensive play improved in the last 8 games. So if we can pick up there, that was a good team wins at the end of the season. It wasn't one side of the ball carrying the other.
This is Bruce Arians right after the Darnell Dockett injury. Brad Sussmat, Sports 360 AZ, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. We're on White Mountain Radio, and we're across the great state of Arizona and on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat. Peter King joins us now, SI.com senior writer, editor of the Monday Morning Quarterback. Very excited right off the top to say that when Eric was at the Combine, I said, why don't you ask Peter if he'd be interested in doing something with us every week? And Peter responded back, absolutely. And so when it's to the regular season, we're very excited to have Peter King jump on with us every week. He is in town today for about, what, Peter, 24 hours, and then you're headed to Miami, is that right?
Yeah, I'm going to Miami in the morning, but I did get here last night, and I thought that I was in a strange city. First of all, it was kind of cool, and second of all, it was pouring. I said, this is not Phoenix. Where am I really?
Well, and I know that when they train in Flagstaff, that was feeling like you were in Arizona. It's much different. You get down
but
on.
I really miss Flagstaff. I loved going up there. I thought it was a great place for training camp and just a cool spot on the planet that I might not have ever gotten to had there not been an NFL team there. But I understand the reason why they come down here. I miss those campus settings because I think they're really cool, and I think they really give the fans an opportunity to reach out and touch the players. But obviously more and more teams are going back to near their cities and near their own facilities.
Peter King with us, Monday Morning Quarterback, SI.com, senior writer. You check out MMQB. Peter, when you go to these camps, you look around, give me a city that you still enjoy going to that was like Flagstaff. You've done all the camps, or you've done almost all of them now this year.
Well, I think, if I can take the question in sort of a different direction. One of the things that is so great about this time of year, first of all, is that nobody's lost a game yet, and everybody thinks they're going to be good. And there's an argument to be made that, you know, I can make an argument that if E.J. Manuel completes 63 to 65% of his balls in Buffalo, the Bills are going to be pretty darn good. But do I think that's going to happen? No. but everybody looks at this time of year, it's an optimum setting to be able to talk to people and to be able to get people to sit down and to open up to you. Like, I give you a good example. Yesterday I was in San Diego. I sat down with Dwight Freeney for an hour watching some tape and doing a story on the art of the pass rush. Hmm. And, you know, he's probably not going to do that during the season, you know. But he's got some time after practice, and he's a garrulous, really kind of, he's a very, very bright guy. I've always really liked him. And those are the kind of things that, I mean, it's like I go to each one of these places, and it's a continuing education class. And, I mean, Professor Bruce Arians will be teaching me in about an hour or so, I guess, here.
You really like him, right?
I really like Arians, yeah, quite a bit. I like somebody who basically knows that he's probably only going to get one chance at this in his life. And so whatever happens, he's going to do it his way. So that when he retires and he's tooling around middle of nowhere, Georgia, or wherever it is that he retires to, he is going to be able to look back and say, well, you know what? I didn't win a Super Bowl. Who knows? He may. He said, I didn't win a Super Bowl, but I did it my way. I wouldn't have wanted to do it any other way. And I think last year, before the year, it was actually in June of last year, I sat in on one of his installation meetings at an OTA session over in Tempe. And I thought walking out of there, I said, here's the kind of guy I would like, if I were ever an athlete, I would like to play for. He is a total, absolute, no-nonsense. Here's the way it's going to be. Here's how you have to do it. A few interesting phrases dropped into the conversation. And you know exactly where you stand at all times with him. And that's really, isn't that what you want out of a coach? A guy who's going to tell you exactly where you stand at all times. And you know, I just thought last year, especially when the Cardinals made their run at the end of the year, you know, a year earlier they had lost in Seattle 58-0, and they go up to Seattle where nobody thought that they would win that game, and they go up and win the game. And I just thought this is the imprint of Bruce Arians, and it's also pretty darn good defense. But, he's had a very big impact on this team in a short period of time.
Peter King with us, the MMQB, mmqb.si.com, Brad Sesmat, Sports 360 AZ. Peter's going to join us during the regular season every Tuesday, and really look forward to these type of conversations to just go in depth of things around the National Football League. Back on Arians, Peter, what's interesting to me is, and I've been here 20 years, their coaching search, Peter, on this one, Arians was not number one or number two, and it was a month, and I was pounding my fist saying, why does this guy not be given an opportunity? And he's come in here, and he hasn't just taken his little baby steps. He's come in here and thrived, and I know the time with the Colts helped him, but I think he's exceeded expectations of the fan base here.
Well, you know what I think happened in the last few years of coaching searches? I think what has happened in the NFL is the NFL has kind of slanted toward the young, okay? And they've also kind of gone to the, to the heady, I don't want to say the Harvard-Dartmouth crowd. I don't mean that at all. But I mean, you know, maybe guys who are going to accept the analytics a little more progressively. And I think that Bruce Arians being so set in his ways and wanting to do things his way, I think that would scare some teams away. And maybe it has in the past. I don't know. But I do know that that Bruce can be an acquired taste for some people.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a rough side to him, sort of like, what Bill Parcells does. But I just think what's so important in this job is to command a room and to get people to believe what you're selling. And I think it was not hard for him to do that. I think it was absolutely tremendous when he came in and he said, look, I don't care what anybody here thinks about Carson Palmer. He has the arm and he's the kind of player that I want, that I think we can win with. Will they win, deep into the playoffs? That remains to be seen. But I think if you take Bruce Arians, you're going to need a big-armed quarterback to play, because he's not going to play this West Coast dink-and-dunk style. He's going to want to throw the ball down the field. And quite honestly, if you don't agree with it, that's fine. Let's play on Sunday and see who wins. That's his attitude.
Well, it's interesting, too, is Carson has come here, and all the conversation has been, where's Larry Fitzgerald going to be a year from now with his contract and his big number coming up? But Carson, Peter, has played well enough that that question should be asked as well here. That's not like they have to have somebody developed behind immediately. He's come here. I'm not going to say it is similar to Warner when Warner came here off the scrap heap from the Giants, but Carson's come here and he's done, I think, better than what people anticipated. It was a rough first few weeks, don't get me wrong, but
yeah,
he's done well.
He has done well. I think the last half of last season showed everybody that this is a guy who can still win in the NFL. And I'm really anxious to see, especially with this new kid from Pittsburgh State, the other Pittsburgh State.
Yeah.
All right, well, there's only one Pittsburgh State, but not the University of Pittsburgh. I'm really interested in watching him this afternoon and seeing him Sunday night. Hopefully get some action with the ones, and people can see how he's going to match up. And that's a good defense.
Yeah, no,
that,
it is.
That Arizona will play on Sunday night. So I think it's a good – I think this season especially fortified a bit. Carson Palmer's got a chance to be even better than he was.
Can you cut through all the noise on Johnny Manziel at all? Or what do you make out of all of it? Every day, day in, day out, news cycle, $14,000 fine for flipping the bird. I mean, what do you make out of the whole story?
I'm sorry, Brad, repeat that?
What do you make out, Peter, of the Johnny Manziel story? How do you cut through it? How do you cut through it every day?
I think Johnny Manziel is going to require some maintenance. He's not going to be one of these guys who's going to go home at 5 o'clock and study the playbook. On the flip side, I was very bullish on Manziel around draft time. Maybe not with the first pick in the draft, but higher than he should have gone, just because he fits today's game so well. And I think he can be accurate enough. He hasn't shown it so far, but I think he can be accurate enough to be a good quarterback in the NFL. You just have to know that you're going to have a few things off the field. He's kind of a wild child.
Mm-hmm.
And how that... what happens now, we'll see. But, Brad, I really believe strongly that it would have been a big mistake for him to get the starting job for a very simple reason. He wasn't ready, assuming that, they're going to be without Josh Gordon for at least 8 games, and that's the assumption that I have right now. Their weaponry is awful. So even though he's going to be protected, well, that's a good offensive line. I think the quarterback there, this year anyway, is doomed to mediocrity at best, and I'm not sure that I would want to throw Manziel into that right away.
Peter King is with us. He is here in Phoenix today with the Cardinals. He does his tour of the camps out in Glendale, actually. Peter King with us here on the show, SI.com, senior writer, editor of the Monday Morning Quarterback. And, of course, he's going to join us on a weekly basis once the regular season gets started. Before I let you go, team you've been most impressed with that surprised you and your tour of the training camps?
Well, I'll tell you the two obvious ones are Denver and Seattle. I wasn't in New England, and I mean, this is my 24th team today. but you know, so I've missed obviously a quarter of the league. But the one surprising team to me that I wasn't expecting very much, that I thought looked really good, was Tampa. even though Josh McCown is not going to have great protection, he's going to have great weaponry. I think they're very high on Austin Seferian Jenkins. The, you know, the fans out here will remember from Washington, the tight end. And obviously Mike Evans, who was Johnny Manziel's biggest target, as well, obviously, as Vincent Jackson. They can feel, you know, three across of guys who are 6'5 or 6'6, and all of whom should be pretty big contributors this year. in addition, I think on defense, they've got, at the three most important positions, they've got guys who, you know, either have been or will be in the Pro Bowl. Levante David at the old Derek Brooks linebacker spot, and Mark Barron in the secondary, who has really turned into kind of a ferocious player, and Gerald McCoy at that three technique, who can disrupt the passer the way Warren Sapp used to. So I think they're going to surprise people. I think they might be the second-best team in that division.
And the team whose stock is starting to go in the wrong direction, Peter, that fans may be looking at and saying, they may be better, and you're not quite sold on them.
I fear for Carolina with all the new pieces and an offensive line that is really in transition. I mean, they had four offensive linemen retire since the end of last year, including an extremely good and underrated, well, not underrated, but just probably not highly regarded enough in Jordan Gross. And, you know, all the receivers are new, too. So Cam Newton has got to deal with a very, very new cast. And I think Cleveland is really going to struggle. I think they're going to spend at least 1 year going the wrong way. Just because you just don't lose the best player on your team and have a shaky quarterback situation at that and think that you're going to improve very much.
Boy, the Cowboy fans out here are really up in arms about their defense, too. I'm getting a lot of concerned Cowboy fans.
Yeah, you know what, Brad, I would be worried, too. I'm going to see them tomorrow night in Miami. That's my last stop before I go home. And I'm really looking forward to seeing whether they can do anything on defense. There's a bunch of teams that have an important weekend this weekend. I think this weekend is important for San Francisco. Their ones have looked terrible in the first 2 weeks. You don't want to make too much of training camp. You never do of exhibition games, but they do not look like the San Francisco 49ers. And then I think it's the Dallas defense. I think in order to have any hope going into this year, I think they've got to show their fans and themselves really something, that they can rush the passer without DeMarcus Ware. You know, they can stop the run without Sean Lee and the other guys, Hatcher, who they've lost in free agency and the injury. So I think the Cowboys, you know, the Cowboys are going to score. I mean, but, you know, other than Tony Romo being a great fantasy football selection this year, I'm not sure how good that is for winning and losing. It's good for stat compiling, but not much else if that defense doesn't play well.
Really look forward to visiting with you every week just like this, Peter. I appreciate the time, appreciate the opportunity to chat and have you on the show each week.
Hey, thanks very much, Brad. I look forward to it, too.
Peter King with us, SI.com senior writer, the Monday Morning Quarterback. It's going to be great to have Peter with us as part of Sports 360's Insiders during the course of the NFL season. Peter King with Sports 360 AZ every week. Look forward to having him on board. Be a lot of fun. On the other side, some things on my mind in the world of sports that I did not get to in the open, including a little bit more on the college football scene. Goody at the movies a little bit later on. As we continue on, I'm Brad Sussmat on a Friday, Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. It's one of those weekends where there's so much going on. It's not even the regular season yet for the football, the NFL football. Tonight is the start of the high school football season. I'm one of those guys that even with my kids now out of high school, except for one, that I will find my way on a Friday night to watch high school football. Sports360AZ.com. We have a plethora of people, contributors, that are out in the high school scene tonight. We're not just shooting games. We do things, stories of people that we see that are interesting. And not just football. On the high school platform, there's just a lot out there around Arizona that we bring you. So that starts up tonight. Of course, we're going to be with Arizona State and U of A. I'm going to the Arizona State kickoff luncheon today, minus Eric. We have a table. Didn't have enough space for him. Are you going to, like, hold this against me? Is this one of those chips? Like, the next time something cool comes along,
you're going to say
just movie screening or something?
No. Just another broken promise. You know, earlier in the week, it was, hey, there's a really good chance that you can come to the ASU football luncheon. And of course, me being the team player, I was like, hey, whatever you need, you just let me know. And then I get the news this morning. And luckily, I'm not dressed to go to a luncheon, so I kind of assumed I wasn't getting an invite, but no bitterness at all.
Here's the thing.
Team first.
You said it earlier. Really good chance. That's my coach speak for. There's a chance that you may not be able to go. Now, there are times where I've taken you, invited you to go to things.
Correct.
That are really cool, and it's, hey, you need to be at this. And that means it's happening. Then there's a really good chance, which means 80%. I could be a weathercaster here in Arizona.
You could be.
Essentially. There's a good chance it might monsoon today.
No difference between mostly sunny and partly cloudy, as
absolutely.
They say?
There you go.
No difference. Say it any way you want. No difference.
No difference. The luncheon's going to be fine. I hope these nitwits over at ASU don't think that we're going to start buying sponsorships and things like that. I mean, we have a business to do. We travel with them. Eric's already claimed the trip to Albuquerque.
Yep.
And you've claimed the trip to Denver for the season?
No, that's Jared.
Jared's going to see you?
Yep. I'm going to L.A., I believe.
You're going to SC?
Mm-hmm.
So I have not claimed a trip yet. I'm thinking I'm going to go to Albuquerque, but I might be under the knife for Albuquerque.
Oh, wow.
Tell you that? I haven't told you that one yet.
You're really not going to miss much. I mean,
well, this is not one of these. This is not one of these, I'm having minor surgery, which is like I'm having a vasectomy. That's not what's happening here. I'm going to have maybe another knee surgery. So, it's minor surgery when it's not being done on you. Okay. When people say it's minor, but it looks like I'm facing number 5 on the right one. So, and that may happen. So I'm not going to Albuquerque, probably. If the surgery doesn't happen, I'll go with you.
That's
unless you
fine.
Don't want
no,
me to go.
No,
are you whining?
Nah, I can manage
it. Is it too much work for you to go watch them beat the tar out of the Lobos? What's your problem?
Make sure you buy those plane tickets because you know how it gets. The prices are going to start climbing. So.
Well, maybe I already have, and I haven't told you.
Ooh, see, yeah. Well, again, you like to kind of keep me in the dark. There's a really good chance I'm going to go to Albuquerque.
There's a really good chance you're going to go to the ASU kickoff dinner. So.
Well, maybe not.
Or lunch. But. So there's that going on. U of A. They start next Friday night. I'm debating about whether or not as a company we should be traveling with U of A. The U of A people are very nice at the U of A. The U of A fans, they're just not very nice. They have this whole deal like it's entitled just because we travel with them during March Madness. Well, here's the thing. U of A in March Madness has been good. U of A in October and November and December and January in football hasn't been good. So I'm kicking around that idea about whether we should do that or not.
But they are an ascending program. I think only bigger and better things ahead for Coach Rodriguez and the Cats if they can figure out a quarterback because they have 9 of them. So,
are you excited about having Peter King every week?
Yeah, should be real good.
I think that's going to be fun.
It should be real good.
Do you want me to just be Cardinal? Here's the thing. Eric tells me in my ear like what to talk about. It's all Eric's show. This is Eric's show. It's not my show.
Well, it's my job. I'm the producer.
Yeah, I know.
When the show does really well, you get the credit. When the show goes really poorly, I get the blame. That's how it works in the radio world.
But no, do we want me to just do Cardinal stuff with him every week? I don't want to do Cardinal stuff with Peter King every
50-50.
Week. I don't care.
50-50. Oh, don't say you don't care.
I don't care.
No, don't say that.
Look, if there's a bigger story nationally and the Cardinals win a game and I've got Peter King, I'm not going to sit there and break down, hey, how about their win on Monday night over the Chargers
for
7 or 8 minutes? That's not happening.
I'm calling my shot right now. There will be one reoccurring theme in Peter King's weekly interview.
And what is that? Johnny Manziel.
Correct.
But see, and I've got to avoid that.
Why?
I don't want to talk about a guy who's not playing.
Well, who knows? He might be playing.
If he's playing, sure.
The Browns are already like
I'd rather do Buffalo Bills
there.
Talk with Peter King
every week.
He might
be playing in week one. They're going to find ways to get him on the field.
I would rather talk about how bad the Cowboys are going to be every week for all those Cowboy fans. And you guys, they're Cowboy fans. You know your team's going to blow this year. They're just going to be awful. But you're going to come in on Mondays, and if they win a game 38-35 and say, that's right, that's our team.
But you'll be following it closely if you have Tony Romo or Dez Bryant on your fantasy team.
Well, so. Sure, I will.
Because they're going to put up ridiculous numbers.
But here's what I don't want to do. You get a national guy that joins you every week. It's like Pedro. Okay, so Pedro lives here when we talk baseball. So we end up doing a lot on the Diamondbacks, and that's fine. Peter doesn't live here. And so if I'm going to say, hey, what do you think of John Brown this week versus last week? That's, you know, that's not where he fits. But, you know, like Michael Vick talking about taking a step back in his career, that's kind of interesting to me. That's how I'm envisioning that segment going. But and that's Tuesdays, right? We're going to do Peter every Tuesday?
Every Tuesday, yep.
So we have Paula on Mondays. We have Peter King on Tuesdays. We have Michael Fabiano with Fantasy Football on Wednesdays. Are we doing any college football? Are you just stopping that?
I do what I'm told around here. So whenever the CEO of the company, who happens to be 6 feet eight, tells me, hey, this is what we're doing, then this is kind of what we're doing. And we also have Pedro Gomez on Tuesdays, but that might be shifting. We'll see.
What?
Just to another day.
Oh, you're moving things around on?
I'm trying to.
Here's the thing on this. If you just found us for the first time, we just kind of do this every day like this. And this is not brain surgery. It's sports. I mean, I could sit here and talk about how just horrific, I mean awful, the Diamondbacks have been here in the month of August. It's the start of football season. I'm not going to do 2 hours of football a day and not pay attention to them. But my gosh, I sat there yesterday and I was texting with a couple big cigars around town, and they were just disgusted by how bad the team is.
2-8 road trip.
Well, and it's not just that, Eric. It's the fact that when you watch them play, it's a double-A lineup at best. I mean at best. And when you go from, you can say Insearte has been terrific and all that stuff, and that's fine. That's preaching company line. But when you have Insearte and Tuffy Goswich coming up back-to-back and you're trying to get a rally going, it's not happening. It's not happening against teams that are really good. And it's not a slight towards those two guys. They're not star players. Like, I look at Matt Williams. Matt Williams sat here for years and years and did his thing. He did everything within the Diamondbacks organization. And then one day he gets a phone call from Mike Rizzo in the Washington Nationals. He says, hey, we got Bryce Harper over here, and we got Steven Strasburg over here, and let's just go down the list of all the great players that we have over here, and we got Gio on the mound. And do you want to manage us? And Matt could have stayed here. Matt, probably you could make a case, could have, should have been a manager of the Diamondbacks somewhere along the way. Maybe it was after they got sideways with Bob Melvin. Look how that's turned out to be. But man, they're tough to watch. And it's people are ripping on baseball about how bad it is. They're not ripping on baseball about how bad it is in New York and in Baltimore. They're not ripping on baseball in Los Angeles or St. Louis because the teams are good. The team here is awful. Thus, we want to try to find an excuse to fix the game. The segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Santan Ford. I'm going to see General Manager Tim Hovick from Santan Ford here in about 2 hours. The people at Santan Ford are the presenting sponsor of today's Arizona State Sun Devil football kickoff luncheon. And that means, once again, as I've told you through the years, that Tim and his staff are very involved with the sporting community. If you're going to buy a car or buy a truck, why would you not want to buy a car or truck from somebody who's ingrained and sponsors the teams that you like to watch and support? Please explain that to me. Santan Ford, they sponsor the Diamondbacks. Big sponsor. You see their big Santan billboard right there behind home plate. Arizona Cardinals, Santan Ford's a big part of the Arizona Cardinals. Santan Ford, big part of Arizona State. So if you're looking for the team to be a part of, and of course they are a big part of what we do here at Sports 360 AZ. I drive the Ford Fusion. Just bought my wife a new Ford herself from Santan, pre-owned certified new vehicle from Santan Ford. Stop on in for yourself, see the Santan Ford difference. That's at Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Good Day at the Movies is next. I'm Brad Sussmat, sports360az.com. AZ Central Sports, we partner with the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at sports360az.
Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, and the Columbus Meats deli trade just got wiped out during the show, it's time for Goody at the Movies. Bill Goodykoons. It's always good to have Goody on board. AZ Central Chief Film Media Critic with Gannett. When the Game Stands Tall is what I want to talk to Bill about, among other things. But I did see that you just spoke with Jessica Alba. Is that true?
That's true. I want to get in on this this deli tray gravy train.
Come on in. You know, come on in sometime. Come on in sometime. I'll get you overloaded with salami. Are you kidding me? You kidding me? It's good. Jessica Alba. So, did she call you?
Yeah, she just.
Yeah.
No, she texted me.
Yeah.
Snapchat.
Snapchat. Instagrammed you, right?
Yeah. She's in the Sin City movie again, and I had an experience that was very similar to something that happened. I'll tell you this quickly. When I was first being a reporter, I was just asking. I mean, she plays basically a stripper in this movie. You know, a dancer. She doesn't ever take off all her clothes, but she takes off most of them. And Jessica Alba, I think most people would agree, is a fairly attractive woman. And I think no one would deny that she is in very good shape. You know, like very fit.
Yeah.
And the sequel comes 9 years after the first movie. And I said, you know, did you have any hesitation? She said, absolutely not. I love making that movie. I love it. And I said, yeah, but you're the one of all the people who come back from the original. It's 9 years later, and you got to get up there and take your clothes off and dance and stuff. And I mean, you're still obviously in good shape and stuff. But they, you know, was that intimidating at all? And she's like, no. Do you think I look okay? And I was like, well, yeah. You look fine.
What are you going to say? No.
Yeah, what I mean, do you say might... to that? But it reminded me of when I was a night cop reporter in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, they occasionally would give you a story off your beat just to kind of keep you, you know, throw you a bone, that kind of thing, and just do something nice to you. So one afternoon, they said, over in Greensboro is the Playmate of the Year. And she is, the big story on her was she was still a virgin while still being a Playmate and the Playmate of the Year. So, of course, I have to ask her about that. Nothing, you know, that's embarrassing. But at least, I mean, she knew that question was coming because that's what everybody asked her, right?
Yeah.
So that was fine. She had some stock answer, you know. And then later I thought, well, you know, I'm a cop reporter. I'll ask her, you know, all these tough questions. And I said, does it bother you that any kid with $5 can see you naked? And she's like, no, I'm very proud of my body. Have you seen me naked? And I was like, well, I mean, they sent me the magazine, you know, before I talked to you, so I would, you know, what to ask you and stuff. And she's like, well, what do you think? And I was like, but at this point, like, my tongue was practically, like, sticking to the roof of my mouth. I was so embarrassed. And I was just, the rest of the interview was just basically, like, just say whatever you want to say.
Right. It's like, you need to do an extra set of ab work, okay, girl?
Yeah.
That's what's going on. You need to learn two words. I'm full, you know. So it's, what are you gonna say in that? So
I said she looked good. I mean, what are we supposed to say? If she didn't look good, she wouldn't be the Playmate of the Year.
But you know, does somebody like Jessica Alba, when she calls you, first of all, have you ever had? And I know I've asked some questions, but I've never been this direct. Have you ever had someone of star status who's so stunningly gorgeous call for you, and your wife is the one that answers the phone?
No, I
haven't had that one happen.
No. I have had one time. I had to do that, and they made it be a duo. You had to interview both of them.
Yeah,
Justin Timberlake and Mia Kunis. And of course, you know, my kids, my daughters, love Justin Timberlake, but you know, typically it's not really like the ethical thing to do. You can't say, you know, I'm here talking to my kid. I mean, that's not why they're there. That's, you know, so. But I did mention that I said, yeah, my daughter really wanted to answer the phone and you guys called. And Mia Kunis is like, Justin, I'm sure she wants to talk to you. Why don't you say hi? And he's like, sure, I don't care. Put her on the phone. I think, no, I can't do that. And then I hung up, you know, later, and I told my daughter, she's like, what?
Yeah, we're like, too ethically challenged in this business at times, don't you think?
Well,
I mean, you look back on some of the things. It's like when one of my daughters was born and I'm not even say who it was. It was a very, very big name person called the house. And my mother just couldn't believe it. And to this day, she likes to tell that story. And I'm rather embarrassed by it because, you know, you're supposed to keep that line drawn. And I think through the years, I don't know if I've gotten soft. I've kind of let that line on occasion.
I think in retrospect, I wish I'd done it because it would in no way have I didn't give their movie a very good review.
Right.
And that would not have changed.
Yeah, yeah.
It would not have compromised me in any way. I've had a couple of people. Jenna Fisher, you ever watch The Office?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
I told she's Pam, and I told her that my daughter is a huge fan of the show and all that stuff. And then I was getting ready to hang up the phone, and my daughter happened to be standing, and she said something to me. And I said, oh, hang on just a second. And then Jenna Fisher said, who's that? And I said, that's my daughter. And she's like, the one that likes the show? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, put her on. And I was like, no, I'm not supposed to do that. She's like, look, put her on the phone and just let me say hi. And I was like, you know what? All right. And so I handed my daughter the phone. I didn't tell her who it was or anything. And her face just, like, lit up like there was a light inside her mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, and people will come up and they'll say, "Can you get this autograph and that autograph?" No, you just can't do that.
No, we do not do autographs.
And don't do that.
The mistake that people make in these businesses, and I think one of the things in sports, and I think you would agree, is that basically stars are celebrities now. I mean, they're all kind of performers, you know, and they're all in our face all the time, whether we want them to be or not. And the mistake that I think a lot of young reporters make. And I think that every fan makes is that because we somehow have access to these people and we maybe even get to know them a little bit, that they are our friends. They are not our friends.
Yeah, no, they're not. No,
and if they screw up and if they get out of line or whatever, we don't cut them a break because that's not how it works.
Nope.
And it's always going to be, you are always going to have an adversarial relationship. And by that, I don't mean you're going to be fighting all the time. I just mean you're not on their side, and they're not on your side.
Yep. No, I mean I've had a couple people here in town that their wives call me. I thought we were friends. No, here's the thing. I'm nice. I'm cordial. However, when he or she does things, or they don't win games, which is what they're paid to do as a coach, or that's just the way it is, and they don't get it. And speaking of that, so last week I had the director on from When the Game Stands Tall. And he spoke glowingly about his movie, as of course he would. And I thought it was a pretty good storyline about De La Salle.
My movie is terrible, and I hope nobody goes to see
it. Is that right? I mean, is it really that bad?
No, it's not terrible. It just cracks me up that somebody would, you know, what's he going to say? The only person I've ever had like that was Joaquin Phoenix, who told me, I said, hey, I see you're a producer on this movie. He's like, what? I told him to take that off. I didn't do anything. They just put that on there to get me to do the movie.
But so tell me about that. You like this movie, The De La Salle High School Unbeaten Streak, because it's a great storyline. Tell me about, should fans go see When the Game Stands Tall?
It's okay. It's not as sappy as I thought it would be, although maybe that's just because in the same week I saw If I Stay, which is just has sap running out of its ears. It's like a tree in Vermont or something. The Game Stands Tall, I mean, perfection is not necessarily a great storyline for movies. You need drama. You need, you know, something. You need something to go wrong and something to get fixed. So wisely, what they've done, and it's based on a book, is they don't. It's not really. It's been somewhat promoted somewhat misleadingly. It's not really a story about the streak. It basically ends. It begins when the streak ends, and I think that was a pretty wise choice because what you have now is, you know, this new class who has to kind of start over, and can they start rebuilding things and that. And all that part was good. And they're very, you know, true dramatic stories involved in this. Some involve, like, senseless violence. Some involve a kid who's going to set the California state record for touchdowns. He doesn't really care about it, but his father is obsessed with it. And his father is played by Clancy Brown, who I think is a great actor, who is also, by the way, the voice of Mr. Krabs on SpongeBob. But the
wow.
But one of the things that doesn't work, at least it didn't for me, is the coach, and they do this thing at the end, which they sometimes do with these movies that are based on real life. At the end of the movie, during the credits, they show some real footage of the coach talking to the team, and it's some of the speeches that are actually in the movie.
Mm.
So it's like the real version of some of what we just saw. And the guy that played Jesus in Passion of the Christ, Jim Caviezel, he plays the coach, and he does it in such a low-key way that you cannot imagine that this guy inspired anybody. You can barely hear him talk.
Mm.
And I know that soft-spoken people can be great leaders. I mean, you know, but...
Tom Landry.
But you know what? I bet when they closed the door, I bet Tom Landry had a little bit to say. I bet, you know, I bet he rose his,
sure.
His voice would raise up. Belichick, you know, just kind of stands over there with his mouth closed. But I bet when, you know, when it's time to talk, and the thing is, in this movie, we are behind closed doors with this guy. And mostly he's just like, yeah, well, we don't do that. Yeah, well, we're not a celebrating team. No, we don't.
So is this like Blindside or Remember the Titans? I mean, we're in football
movies.
It's not
as inspirational as that, and that's, which is fine. I mean, it's not that. I mean, again, one of the things that happens is even though their streak ends, they're still a pretty great team. Yeah. You know, I mean, this is a pretty powerful team. And one of the things that they kind of touch on that they didn't really get into, but I think would have been interesting to explore, is they do show a coaches meeting, like the district coaches get together. And the other coaches hate them, and they're like, "You're basically cheating. You're recruiting kids, you know. You only bring in good football players and all this." And they're like, "No, we don't." It's like, okay.
Well, I will let you go off that. I appreciate your time as always. We'll talk next week. Bill Goodykunz, Goody at the Movies. Goody at the Movies every week. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. We're also on White Mountain Radio. And we're on Twitter, too. Over the weekend, you want to hit us up on Twitter. It's @BradSesmat, CESMAT, sports360az.com.